Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is an interior paint and primer in one with a tough-lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter paint at Menards and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
We're still fighting for this title, and he's got to go to Middlesbrough and get something. And I'll tell you honestly, I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Warm Down today, joined by my mate David.
Why am I here?
What do you mean, why are you here? Because you work about 6 foot away. That's why. For those of you who aren't aware, me and Dave have obviously just gambled hard and gone for our own little studio in Manchester so we can produce more quality content like this and have each other on hand to help out with making videos and stuff like that. And one of the first warm downs I had in my mind to do since we moved in here, obviously, was with Dave, and wanted to do this Sunday, but we was finishing building in here.
Yeah.
We are all the way down there, and we've got a bar at the other end as well now, which you're going to be seeing pretty soon. And then wanted to do it yesterday, and then yesterday was doing the bar side of stuff. So
it's still an excuse, isn't there?
There's a lot.
Just need to do it, right?
But we was busy, but we've found holes in our busy schedule today to try and make this. So obviously the Manchester derby is slipping by, really. So this is probably the last day we could have done this.
Yeah.
Really, to really talk about this. What a game of football, for starters. Can we just start on what an absolute game of football? There's no neutrals in this office, but as a neutral, I imagine that was a cracker of a game of football to watch.
Yeah, I think so. It really swung, didn't it, from both ways, and City dominated that first half, and they could have been four or five up.
Easily.
And then United in that second half were just so clinical, but they created real, real good chances, and I think that's the game.
A bit similar to the Liverpool game at home, really, where we were clinical. Two shots, two goals.
I think with that, Liverpool didn't create anything, whereas City did create stuff.
Liverpool didn't in the first half. In the second half, they got.
I'd still say the quality of those chances that Liverpool created were a lot less than the City. Like the City one, Sterling clean from goal twice. Obviously, Gundogan in the second half hitting the bar. We forget about that. Mm. They had a lot of really good chances. You look at the expected goals, it obviously swings to City. But then the thing is that
Raheem Sterling had a better expected goals than United.
Yeah, 100%. But you think the goals that United scored all finishes within the 6 yard area. So that the expected goals of those chances were huge, and that's why United scored three goals from it. Because
Was it all inside 6 yards, or just?
Just about. You're thinking Pogba was through for the side foot, thinking he was through for the header, and of course Smalling was through. Yeah. So they were really, you know, real good chances. Edison as well, best keeper in the Premier League, my arse.
There's a thing about taking good chances as well, isn't there? Because you see, like, one of the criticisms I have of Harry Kane is that he just gets the ball anywhere inside the opponent's half and pings one.
Yeah, it's because he can probably score from a lot of those angles.
Remember his goal
that he scored against Arsenal.
I do, but remember, like, in a big game especially, I think you have to take your chances better. So, I think you have to... You can't waste possession on a 30-yard shot.
No, you can if you've got the ball. You can't if you've not got the ball. And if you're a counter-attacking side, you've got to be clinical. Diego Milito is the greatest example of that, Inter Milan in 2010.
Because Rashford might be the greatest example of that we could...
He's done very well, and it's a shame to not see him on the pitch, but at the same time, the system worked perfectly. I think then... The weird side is, was it Mourinho's tactics at the start, or did he change something at half-time that changed the game? Because we don't know.
Well, we spoke about this yesterday, didn't we? Just literally in here, before you dropped your video on it, about did we actually change anything, or did he reiterate what he wanted to do in the first half? We think defensively there was things that changed, but attacking, we're not really sure that things did change. We was just better going forward. We held better, we made better decisions in the second half with the ball.
100%.
But there was some changes defensively.
I think it's a weird one. It's like that the plan was there and then it worked in the second half. I think going forward, it was Lukaku on the right wing, long balls to Lukaku is how United were going to bypass the City press. The most, you know, the highest amount of capacities.
That's Mourinho's go-to for the press, isn't
it? It works, though. It has to. And that's why the weird thing why we didn't do that against Sevilla, which was a whole new kettle of fish.
Sevilla, like, I don't know, you lot are at home that can't even say that there's been progress because we lost to Sevilla, but it hurts that Sevilla game, doesn't it?
It's just weird. But at the same time, we've done so well against Liverpool, Chelsea and now City that there is that positivity side.
And Arsenal and Spurs.
But I mean, like, you know, we obviously lost to Spurs 2-0 away at Wembley, and that was one of the worst performances we've seen under Mourinho. Since that, you know, top six game, we look like we've actually sorted ourselves out. You know, you think about the Chelsea game 1-0 down, City game 2-0 down, and there's a reaction. You think about the game away at Crystal Palace, another reaction, and before United didn't really have that. You felt if United were down.
It feels like there's becoming character in this team.
Yeah.
I know we discussed this a bit yesterday, and I was saying, I actually really enjoyed seeing Pogba doing the chest beating and stuff like that.
Because yeah, it was good.
I don't know that we've got that in our team.
Yeah, you do need that, and I think it's nice to, like, the thing I really enjoyed was that tactical foul on Otamendi. Brilliant tackle, in Otamendi driving out the back.
But United don't do that enough.
Exactly.
City are really good at
that. Yeah, that, but then if you want to be a top-class team, Real Madrid do that. Casemiro is the best in world football at doing that.
The Makélélé role encompasses the Makélélé foul. The Makélélé foul is when the opposition's coming over the halfway line counter. It's like, fucking lift them.
Yeah, but then you stop it even further than that. You stop it at point, and that's what Pogba did. He got booked and he kicked off, and that's fine. It's good to see Pogba like that. It's good to see Pogba energised. The other thing I was thinking about that I didn't actually talk about in my video is, why did Alexis Sanchez play so well? Because City weren't willing to spend the cash on him. He had something to prove.
Maybe, yeah.
He had something to prove in that game. That was his best performance in the United shirt. I thought the week before he was really good.
Got 5 in the sub.
A 5?
One of his worst performances, he said. In fact, draw. See if I can pull it up for you, actually, because the legends in the Patreon group posted this in there for us the other day, and I do have it to hand pretty easily.
He scored a goal and got an assist, and he got 5.
Another hugely disappointing, he's not settling at United, 5. And it was in, sorry, it wasn't the sun, it was... I will find it. Sunday World, an Irish paper. Kevin Palmer is the journal. So, Lukaku hard worked hard with limited service. Not a 9.
Is this the derby?
Yeah, yeah.
Lukaku, he got a 5.
Pogba got a 9, which I think is a bit giddy.
He got a 5.
Herrera got a 6.
He created all 3 of the goals.
It's horrific. It's a horrific
madness.
Absolutely horrific.
You see how he twisted Otamendi up as well. Like that was big. That was a big move.
Oh yeah, you showed me that over.
Big move. Yeah, big move.
Yeah,
so it's like he pretty much did create those out of nothing. Yeah, I gave Jesse Lingard a lot of credit in my video because I thought his movement was brilliant in the second half. Jesse Lingard really came into the game, moving into a central position, and it worked for United, and that's what I'd quite like to see in the bigger games. Lukaku on the right wing, Sanchez on the left wing, and Jesse Lingard through the middle.
I think there's something in that. I think they won't deliberately move Lukaku to a right wing spot. Like the way you get with Martial when he's got, you know,
but
he's got the paint on his boots.
It's not, that's what I mean. It's not that position. It's more inside. It's more of a 4-4-2 diamond.
Well, if we actually have a look, and I'll try and remember what point we're talking about this and try and put it in. If I don't, I'm sorry, but because I just want to get this out, really. But I will try and flash up the...
average positions.
The average position touch. And he's on the right-hand side of the D. Sanchez on the left. It does look like a 4-2-2 in this, where the average actions happened, didn't it? But you could also go, skewed it's over 4-3-3.
So what you'll see on that average positions is you'll see Jesse Lingard tucked in a little bit. If you actually compare his average positions in the second half versus first half he was really wide, second half he wasn't. That one, it linked the United attack together, and the movement for the Pogba second goal was incredible. Go and watch that back. Incredible, pulls Otamendi and Vincent Kompany away, opens up the space for Pogba. But more importantly, it was dealing with Fernandinho, because we couldn't get near Fernandinho at first half. It was dictated to play. Second half, they played a lot more narrow.
We said this yesterday, that it did look like Matic was marking Fernandinho, which is the opposite six, which is weird.
But it was because nobody dealt with him. Like, nobody was on him, and it was literally...
I think it was more like Matic was like, fuck, I'll have to go deal with that, rather than... He's my man.
Yeah, it was one thing that I mentioned on my video. Basically, that consequently meant that Sterling had space because Matic moved out that space. And consequently, that pulled Eric Bailly, who was very, very poor in that first half, out. And De Silva kept on running behind. David Silva, that is. And I think it's... Like, it was honestly like they'd just not... Again, they'd not read the tactics brief, or they'd not done what they were supposed to be doing, because how can you have that in the second half that's so better, so much different? You could say City didn't play their first team, but the improvement of Manchester United in first versus second, yeah, you're going to rally the troops, yeah, but there was these either tactical tweaks.
Just tweaks, because as a lot of people have noticed and a lot of people have forgot as well, the first 20 minutes, that was a good performance from United. Didn't create a lot, but it was a solid performance.
Yeah.
We were starting to create chances, we was finding gaps. We didn't have any shots, I don't think, in that first 20, but we was in the fight, weren't we? And it was a really good game of football. City was coming at us, we was going at them, they was having a little bit more success. And then they scored their 2 goals, and it was like the arse fell out of United until we got back in the dressing room.
Yeah.
It was a very... Because then, I think City then just created chance after chance after chance all the way to half-time.
So the tactical switch from Guardiola, as we spoke about, was Silva going out wide, Bernardo Silva, and Sterling going to middle. Sterling, like... Yeah, he's getting hammered by the press for missing those chances, but he was brilliant. in a creative sense, he was fantastic. He should have had 3 assists.
But you can't deny that you've got, like we said earlier with Harry Kane, you've got to take those chances.
Yeah,
yeah. If he takes those chances, they're going at half-time 3-0, United don't come
back. Yeah, but the same thing, they're not 2-0 up if Sterling isn't creating those, isn't creating that movement.
I guess.
They may be 1-0 up, they're not 2-0 up.
Well, I think both of those goals, I mean, all right.
Yeah, so the first goal, Sterling's involved in the move that gets Sane wide and Sane crosses and it's a corner. So you can kind of say that he's involved there. But that second goal, like, it's all Sterling's movement. A poor kick from David De Gea, space to exploit.
Talking about movement as well, because this is something that both of us have clocked. And I was talking about yesterday that there was a Mata goal, I can't remember if it was against Old Trafford, but Lukaku runs across the face of two defenders and drags everyone out of the way for Mata to just have the easiest of tap-ins. Lukaku got hammered for his performance at weekend, but his movement is opening these gaps for other people. And we sort of, well, I've touched on it a little bit this season where I've said, Lukaku's overall gameplay is better for us than Zlatan.
Yeah, it is, 100%.
Evidenced by the fact that there's so many people on over 10 goals.
Yeah.
So many other players in double figures, whereas I think last season it was... Seriously?
It's like a remix.
Fuck's sake.
Well, that's a break. Half time at the warm down. We'll see you guys later.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
So we didn't die.
That's good.
It was a false alarm.
Imagine if the office had burned down after we took the gamble. That'd have been pretty rubbish.
That'd have been really inconvenient, wouldn't it?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Anyway, so we were talking about Lukaku's movement before we didn't get burned down.
Yeah.
And you think Lukaku's movement, even though he was criticised for a poor performance, I'll criticise him for the crap headers that was to no one that he didn't win. There was about 3 occasions unopposed. He jumps up for it and just falls behind him and just like.
Yeah, but sometimes you have that, and then
you do.
For the second goal, who starts the whole thing? David, it's Eric Bailly to Lukaku, brings in Lingard, through Pogba, Sanchez, back to Pogba goal. Like that's the thing. What that one part of the game that obviously 3 times he didn't get the ball, but he created a goal. Well, not created a goal. He was involved in a goal in one of them, which was his hold up play. And I think that's it with Lukaku, is that tactically he did a job for Mourinho, and that is why Mourinho likes him so much, because he always works, he's always tracking back. Mm-hmm. That's a big part of Lukaku's game that he's built at United. Didn't do that at Everton.
He's a tractor of a man as well, so to have the energy to do that up and down the pitch and play 90 minutes, it's almost inhuman.
It's just getting, it's just Lukaku, and I think that's what he's improved on. He's improved on a lot at United, and he's only been here 1 season. Imagine what he's going to be in 3 to 4 seasons. He's going to be absolutely incredible.
How much of that's down to the work he's doing with Thierry Henry?
I think it'll be. I think that's part of it. I think the finishing side maybe, but I think the work rate side of it is all Mourinho and his coaching stuff. I think that you can only look at that he's listening to what Mourinho's saying, he's doing the hard yards, and that can only mean one thing for him as a player, as a footballer. He's going to get better and better and better. You know, I bang on about Darren Fletcher. Darren Fletcher is one of the most improved players over his career we've ever seen at Manchester United. You know, coming into the team a little bit one-dimensional energy, and that was it, to being a really complete footballer. Mm. Think of the last goal he scored for United against City in the 6-1 defeat. That goal was incredible. Would he do that at the start of his career? No, but he grew, and that's what Lukaku is. He's still a young player, and he's going to grow.
Definitely still a young player, and he's achieved a hell of a lot so far in his career at relatively mediocre teams. So
Chelsea. He played a handful of times. Yeah, I don't know.
Chelsea, so it don't really count. No, he spent most of his career at Everton.
West Brom.
A decent spell at West Brom.
Yeah.
And scoring goals. West Brom haven't got a guy that scores what Lukaku scored for them.
They were a better side then when he was there. But at the same time, he was a very good player there. So, you know,
he was 19.
Yeah. So,
he's a young man that's got a hell of a future. Where do you put him as United's player of the year?
I'd say Lukaku for me. I really do. I think De Gea will get it because De Gea's made some absolutely unbelievable saves.
Inhuman.
But I think what Lukaku's done is his improvement, his all-round game, defensively how good he is now, his hold-up play's amazing, like we're using him as a target man, like the game against City, like Liverpool like
actually.
He's becoming complete, and I think he deserves a lot of plaudits. I think De Gea will get it, but Lukaku definitely should be number 2.
What's your 3 for your nominations? Because I would have put Lingard, De Gea.
Yeah, Lukaku. Probably will go with that. But then back end of the season, if Pogba starts turning on again, start of the season was good, end of the season's very good, probably not going to be in the mentions, but if he can have a solid season...
He's had like four or five, maybe six really mediocre games.
Yeah.
Bracketed by that Sevilla game, and obviously we win the Liverpool game without him.
Yeah.
I think people are going to go, fuck Pogba. I think, unfortunately, I think that's what a lot of United fans' attitude is. I think they've bought into the media perception that this is a guy that cares more about haircuts and stuff.
Yeah, and
that's... Probably criticised by Graham Souness, who used to have a perm.
Yeah, it's complete rubbish at the same time. Like, Pogba's... you know, one of the most talented players in world football. Think about what he's done with his limited minutes this season. What, 5 goals, 9 assists, been directly involved in a goal every 124 minutes. For a midfielder, that's like, you know, more than one every two games. So I think the thing with Pogba, it's about playing, it's about learning, it's about developing himself in a defensive sense. Basically what Lukaku's done and how he's learned, how he's matured as a player, Pogba needs to do that either in the off-season or the start of next season, where defensively he's a little bit more switched on. He's more aware in those situations. Like the criticism of the City midfield in the derby, they were awful defensively. They were so bad at tracking runners. They were, you know, terrible at dealing with United in the final third.
It was my marking Pogba for both of his goals. No one runs with him.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. No one goes with him. But at the same time, like, I think he runs off the back of Silva for the second one. The first one's Fernandinho. But you don't expect that of the City players. You don't expect Fernandinho to be good at tracking runners because he's very, very good on the ball. Like, you don't expect David Silva to track a runner. And that's kind of like where City are weak. If you can get them into their final third, however you do it, United going along to Lukaku, you get them there, we can tear them apart. And that's the big thing Liverpool will probably do to them as well.
This is going out before the Liverpool game,
yeah.
Fingers crossed. Obviously, it's at the boot camp.
Yeah.
Are we expecting that to go down?
I think Liverpool are going to score. And that's going to kill the game.
I think 3-1 City.
3-1 City. It's either going to be 3-0 City, extra time penalties.
What?
Or I think it'll be Liverpool. I think Liverpool grab an away goal. One away goal will kill the tie. I reckon maybe 4-1 City, Liverpool to go through.
I've got a big game of odds on that.
Yeah.
But I think Liverpool progress, but I think it's going to be a hell of a game.
Yeah, it's going to be a good game of football.
I think it's going to be like a BTEC version of Paris and Barcelona. Was it a couple of years
ago? Yeah, well, last year.
The last year?
Yeah.
Which was one of the most bent games I've ever seen in my life.
Neymar! Like,
really? How many fucking free kicks and fouls and penalties did you get? Anyway, that's another thing for another day. Right, we asked you guys some questions on Twitter, so we'll get into those. And also, let us know if you want to see us try and put something like this regular together. We don't know where that would live, but we think there's probably some scope for that, don't we?
Nah.
Monday morning.
Not with you, mate.
Monday morning analyst, some shit like that. Where's all them questions gone? Right. From Jamie, says, considering how we now have pretty much secured second place, the laptop's a little bit far away, let's make this easy. Get it over here, I can't see you. Considering we now have pretty much secured a place in the Champions League next year, should we use the final few games to focus on?
Youth.
Agreed.
Game time, formation, tactics, Sanchez and Pogba playing as much as possible. Then there's a few things. Victor Lindelof starting.
Lindelof would be a shout because that, for me, solves the playing out of defence issue, which we clearly have.
And the centre-half problem that we have as well, that we feel that we can solve that with money again, which may not be the best thing. Maybe it is about coaching and development.
There is a lot of people asking about transfers. I don't like going to the transfer market constantly to do this when I think that you can probably solve it from within.
Yep.
Is Axel Tuanzebe ready to start? I don't think he is ready to start.
No. Nope.
But if you give him the games, he might be an option at least,
yep,
to rotate in and out. Fosu Mensah for the right back spot.
Yep.
Or the left back spot. One of the best games I've ever seen him play was at left back. I do think he's a number six, ultimately. A bit of a destroyer. He's not really got the tactical discipline, but I think he could learn that.
Yeah, I think he's a right back, but we'll see. We'll see with him.
Well, it's one of his best ever games, yep, left back. And I think he's played left back for Holland as well. There's obviously the likes of the lads that we're talking about for nominations for the under-18s player of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Greenwood, Burkhart, Laird, Williams, all of these lads, O'Connor.
Still got Chong and Gomez that
Chong
have moved up.
Are kind of ahead of them in the 23 squad, but would this be an ideal scenario now for Mourinho to almost stat pad his record with youth?
Yeah.
But also, we're not talking also around young players here, we're talking top draw players.
But we can still win the league. I I'd say, right, as soon as City win the title, then we throw the youth in. Do you know what I mean? Like, so we play competitively. And like, we try and get a bit of a run together.
Between us and third.
Well, we're already pretty far from Liverpool. We've got two games in hand. We're already 4 points ahead, maybe. Yeah. So I think the thing with that is, it like I'd just play it competitively until City win the league, and then bam, just throw in all these young lads.
I'd just say the last 3-4 games of the season at home, the home games. Maybe just say the away games we go fairly serious with. Home games, Angel.
You see the big thing as well. That could be good for Mourinho's relationship with a lot of the players. Thinking a lot of them will be at the World Cup. Like, so Pogba, Nemanja Matic, Serbia are going to be the ones to watch for me, dark horses.
You have a break today, lads.
That's what I mean. Like, you have that month off, then your form in the World Cup is going to be incredible. And that's like the Messi-Guardiola thing. So when Guardiola went to Barcelona, Messi wanted to play at the Olympics. He wanted to get the Olympic gold. And basically Guardiola, and Messi missed the first 3 La Liga games. Guardiola's like, yeah, fine, go. But that bond that he made then, that, you know, because Messi really
money
wanted that. Money in the bank. And that's what Mourinho could do with the likes of Pogba, the likes of Ashley Young. Could be his last ever international tournament. Why not, like, say, you know, we're going to play these young lads to give you a rest. Obviously, you're going to have to explain that. The management side of it's going to have to come in terms of people management, but could be a really good opportunity for Mourinho. You know, someone like Lukaku as well.
Not Young, you could do that, but I think Lukaku, Pogba, players that you know are going to the World Cup. I think someone like Young who could go, couldn't go.
No, I think Young's going to be the starting left back.
For England?
Yeah, Danny Rose is bang out of form. Mm. He's probably the big one. Luke Shaw's not going to be there. Sessegnon isn't a right back, a left back, as we've discussed before.
Fuck off, Dave, of course he is.
He's not at all.
I still think that he's not guaranteed. So I would say Young, maybe not. Maybe Gareth Southgate still wants to see him.
Then that means we'll see Luke Shaw maybe play more, or someone like Ethan Laird, or anyone that could come
Borthwick Jackson.
You know, someone to come in and just to play left back like that. There's no point. And again, you're building that bond and that connection with the squad if you're like, look, I'm doing this because you're going to now smash the World Cup, and then you'll come back at United and then we'll win the league.
Yeah, and you see Chong and Gomez can come in for the likes of Sanchez and Pogba. And
yeah, that's the only thing I'd quite like to see more of, Sanchez and Pogba. I think that needs, like, if I was saying it, I'd keep those two in, because Sanchez ain't going to the World Cup. True. So Sanchez pretty much for the rest of the season, left wing, try him on the right, try him as a striker, try him at left back, right back, centre half, see what he can do. But I think, yeah, so he's definitely in. I'd like to see more of him and Pogba together, and then maybe whatever around, that's fine. You know, Eric Bailly could get a rest. You know, someone like a Victor Lindelof could get a rest, but then we want to see him.
I wonder if he'd bring in Roshan or Terrell Warren.
I'd say Roshan over Terrell Warren, maybe.
Huge. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if you could see that. So you could, in theory. I mean, obviously, you've already had Gomez already played, Barfoot Jackson's already played, but if he was going to debut anyone, I wouldn't mind seeing Ethan Laird. I really wouldn't. He's had a fantastic season. I mean, last season, he's a goal-scoring fullback. Last season, got 20-something goals under 16s from left-back.
Mm.
Crazy. This season, a real mature, sort of aggressive sort of performance this season. He's in my nominations. I don't think he's going to get it, because I think Greenwood's going to get it. Greenwood, he's an under-16. Could Mourinho debut an under-16?
I think he had. No, I'd like to see someone like Ethan Hamilton as well.
I think Hamilton's a problem on the list because of the size of the guy.
Yeah,
he's had a good,
very, very solid.
He deserves the under-23 player of the season because he's had a real Darren Fletcher season where he's been consistent in a very inconsistent team.
Yeah.
So I think Hamilton would be an excellent shot.
There's a lot of Scott McTominay in Hamilton, but I think Hamilton more defensively.
Scott McTominay of what Scott McTominay's done in the first team and what Ethan Hamilton's
done. Yeah, done in, yeah.
Scott McTominay, yeah. Under-23s.
But yeah, that could be a guy that could come in. I think that'd be quite nice to see.
Well, let's say United have also got some big games. We've got Spurs in the FA Cup and a hopeful FA Cup final.
Again, you can just rest. Rotate. Yeah, rest and rotate.
Rest and rotate and give you...
As soon as the title goes.
That's the only...
But if we're the title's on, we continue to play the first 11.
Mourinho has to treat it like it's on, which is...
But he does. 100%. It's still on.
Does, because if City blow it against Tottenham, and then, I mean, City have got 3 absolute tap-ins of games at home, so they're not going to. We're saying, from Mourinho's point of view,
yeah, you got to go.
He's got to treat it like it's still on until it's not on.
Yeah,
because if they get, there's 2 things that can happen. There's probably about 11 things that could happen, but there's 2 major things that could really throw City's season. First one being, if they go through against the odds against Liverpool, they are going to not focus on the league.
They're going to rest players.
If they get Real Madrid in the next round, they get Barcelona in the next round, Pepe's going to absolutely phone in those games.
Yeah.
And that is a chance for them to fuck those games up. The chances are they're still going to be strong enough to get the points that they need in those games. But there is there is from 0 to 100%, there is a small percentage chance that that happens, right? So while that is on the cards, Jose has to go for it.
Yeah, 100%.
But two victories, it's over. 2 out of 5 is over.
Yeah, but then that means we need to, we also need to win every single game, right?
We was jokingly talking about this yesterday, where I said, "Do you know what? How fucking
wasn't joking. He was being deadly serious.
How much of a piss take would this be if City did fuck it all up? Sky would come in their pants, wouldn't it? If they actually have a title running on the last day, it gets all the way to that last game of the season. City just need a point at that stage, and United have got Watford at home and can't get the fucking win.
Nah, it'll happen. Marouane Fellaini will come on and we'll just chuck it up. Simple.
It'd be a fantastic end to the season. But before going into the fucking realms of the non-reality, we're talking about City. One way for United to finish this season on a real high would be debut Greenwood, Laird, Hamilton, Roshan Williams,
Chong. Gomez more
five
minutes.
Awesome debuts, yeah. Get Gomez back in the mix, maybe Barfoot Jackson, maybe even a bit of Luke Shaw, remember him. Get some of those players out, get in game time, win the FA Cup, finish strong, because if we finish within 5 or 6 points of City, that's a pretty fucking good achievement.
Yeah, successful. We're the most successful team ever. City will be. Can break 100 points, we've never seen in the Premier League. It's quite an achievement. It's just weird, there's a lot of Bayern Munich in this City side, where Bayern Munich used to win the league by like February. They're like, all right, we've already won the Bundesliga, sweet, let's have a beer and whatever. And then they'd switch off in the Champions League, and that's one of the reasons why Guardiola was unsuccessful in the Champions League, is because competitiveness fell out of his own league, and there wasn't that.
I don't think that's been the case with them in Liverpool. I think they was tactically naive.
No, but what I mean there is that it's like, if City were to go to the semis in the final, they're not, and they've won the league next weekend, or they'd won the league last weekend, different kettle of fish, and it's a different management, and it's a different, you know, you're playing every 2 weeks or whatever, 2 weeks, and then you're playing 2 games in 2 weeks. Different mentality. Champions League finals, 26th of May. So there's a lot of time. There's basically a month where you're not playing competitive football.
God, yeah.
So, yeah, well, I don't know.
We are going to be doing some stuff about the Champions League final. I knew we think it's going to get there on One Football in a bit. So, we'll check out that at One Football when we drop it out. Let's have a look at a couple more questions before we wrap it up.
Yeah, we've.
Who should be the next United manager after Jose has completed his project from Farouk? It depends on
Jose.
Where he goes. Depends when he goes.
Yeah, you never know where he's going to go.
I do think we're grooming Poch. I don't like his attitude to the FA Cup. I do this year because it might benefit us, but I don't really like his attitude to the FA Cup. He says winning the FA Cup's not going to instill a winning mentality in this team.
It's kind of right.
I disagree.
It's getting that winning mentality comes with trophies, but it comes in, you're winning trophies. Maybe what he should have done is focus on the Europa League when he was in there. They're beaten by it. A good Thomas Tuchel side, but a Thomas Tuchel side that if Poch really put his mind to it could have unlocked.
Antsy's Red says, are there any players in world football that you would liken to Ryan Giggs either in current style or potential?
That's a good question, but no.
Early Ryan Giggs, Wilf Zaha's got that sort of constantly twisting and turning, but not.
No, but he's more going to be coming inside and shooting. Giggs, very much. Byline, touchline.
Giggs would do the constantly chopping that Zaha does in terms of like one move, but there is nobody else I can think of.
It's because football's moved on. I think tactically wingers aren't trendy anymore.
They're a rare beast, aren't they? A byline winger. Is there a future for Tony Marshall at United considering Sanchez will play on the left in a 4-3-3?
Yes.
I think someone's going to go though. Someone's surprising. Be that Mata or somebody.
Yeah, you know, it's football, isn't it?
A couple of people are asking what's going on with Marshall and that. Can we play counter-attacking football and still satisfy the fans, says Farouk?
No.
I think we can.
We can't satisfy the fans. That's the problem. Doesn't matter what we do.
We were in a treble. We should have been a quad.
Yeah, a quad. We should have won 5 trophies that season. We should have won the FIFA World Cup as well.
I think you can. I think if you did it to the level where Madrid do it.
Yeah, but Madrid don't play counter-attacking football.
It is counter-attacking.
Madrid play flexible football.
United play flexible football.
Yeah, but Madrid play flexible football. Madrid can switch between a 4-4-2, a 4-4-2 diamond, a 4-3-3, a 4-5-1 seamlessly. Each one of those systems, they can play differently.
Are we not on the road to that?
When we're not flexible enough, I don't think we're not as good as Madrid are in their different systems as ours.
Not, I think you could have just left it as we're not as good as Madrid are.
But that's what I mean. That's why we're not.
We are just.
Like the way Madrid play, the tempo they have when they have the ball, we are nowhere near that. And that's what we need to aspire to be is Real Madrid on the ball.
But when we come up against the 4-0 FC early part of the season, we show we can hit teams and hit them.
Yeah, we hit them well on the break, but that's not how Madrid play. Madrid will dominate you.
Is that we can show in those games we had the overwhelming amount of possession. When we scored, it was on the break, but we dominated possession in those games.
But that's the thing, we dominated possession. Our possession was terrible. Really bad areas, really bad passing combinations, and that's the difference. Madrid will out pass you for 60 minutes, then Benzema will go off, Asensio will come on, then someone like Isco will go off, Vasquez comes on, then they play on the counter-attack. We did have that in those last 80 minutes. We did start switching to a 4-5-1 and we were breaking really well through the middle. We've stopped doing that, which is a bit weird. We've stopped switching to that 4-5-1 from the 4-2-3-1 against the weaker sides. Not sure why, because it worked really well. The central break for United was fantastic in that first. But also with...
I think a lot of it was down to Mkhitaryan.
I was just about to say, a lot of it was down to Henry Mkhitaryan. But
it was.
You have one argument,
but
you're out.
If he doesn't fit in...
He did fit in. I don't think he didn't fit in. He fit into United's counter-attack.
He didn't fit in personality-wise in terms of it, a lot of those stuff. And then there was the rumoured... whatever happened in an analysis session.
Yep.
But supposedly he's a fucking full-on weirdo, so whatever.
Like you. You'd suit him then, wouldn't you?
What do we need to take this team to an elite level next season? Says Yash.
Tony Cruz.
I still think we need another defender. I still think we need to sort of full-backs out. But yeah,
I think
it doesn't necessarily mean in the market.
Yeah.
I think you might have I don't think you're going to get it because I don't think he likes Luke Shaw, full stop. So it's not going to be Luke Shaw if it's anyone, I think, unfortunately. What's the biggest issue facing managers of top six sides for next season?
Consistency.
Let's go City United Tottenham. What's the biggest issues for City next season?
Teams figuring them out.
Retaining it, yeah.
They'll have to change a formation or they'll have to change something. If they don't, they won't evolve, then teams will catch them up.
If they also spend 200 million, could that rock the ego boat?
I don't think that's... I think it doesn't matter who you sign, you need to change something. Whatever it is, Guardiola obviously at Barcelona, pretty much went from a 4-3-3 to a 3-4-3 because they had so much of the ball, he moved it on. Guardiola's tried that a bit at City with a 3-5-2 at the start of the season, didn't quite work. Maybe a 3-4-3 could work a bit better with the certain players that they have. Sterling as a false nine, I'd like to see that consistently. I think if you do that, if you play Sterling there, he's going to score 20 Premier League goals.
I do kind of hope that they blow a load of dough on some big names in the summer.
They don't. That's the thing. They don't need to.
No, they don't.
But then that would imbalance their squad. Is the thing.
That's what I'm hoping
for. When they have Benjamin Mendy back, they're going to be even better. He's unbelievable. He's probably one of the best left backs in world football. Went for it.
Biggest issue for United next season?
Consistency and competitiveness.
I think the biggest issue is the defence just as a whole, whether that means transfers, system, mentality. It's just the defence. Just something needs fixing with defence. Playing out from defence. Just fucking defence.
Yeah.
And it's not because we're conceding a lot of goals. We don't concede a lot of goals. But I think there's a duality to what defenders have to do, especially fullbacks. When you're in a team like United, there has to be an attacking element to them, and we have to fucking cross the ball more. If we cross the ball more,
I don't think we need to cross the ball more. We need to cross the ball from better positions.
All right, we need to.
So we don't need to. We cross the ball a lot. Man United cross the ball a lot under Mourinho.
I don't think we do.
So last season, they were the second highest crosses per game in the Premier League behind Southampton. So we don't need to cross more. We need to cross from better areas. We need to make better decisions in the final third when we're wide. Is what we need to do.
Dustin says, how often has United approached you about the content you create? Never.
No?
They've never had a question about something we've made.
Apart from that's pretty sick. Great stuff, Dave. I don't think they've said that to you, but...
They've obviously approached us to do stuff with MUTV.
Yeah.
But they've never gone, you can't say that, you can't do this.
No,
they've never said anything like that.
You know, why would you want to...
I don't even know who would contact you.
But that's the thing, I'd never want to be that person. I'd never want to be in a situation where I've made some content that's that dodgy or that, poor Pogba's absolutely rubbish. It's boring stuff. I find that absolutely boring as anything. There's no analysis in that or Paul Pogba's had a bad season. Obviously, pre-derby we're talking, taking the miss. The miss? The piss. We may need to... I've got to go to a cycle class, spin class.
All right, we'll wrap it up there. Dave has joined Patreon, so...
Yeah, if you want to check it out.
Patreon content, you get his podcast on there. And if you're not on my Patreon, you're missing out because I'm going to be talking about what's really going on with Marcus Rashford and these transfer rumours That'll be out tomorrow, Wednesday. So go and check that out. The link for my Patreon and Dave's will be in the description below. Thank you for watching. Subscribe and hit the notifications because YouTube is proper.
Turn that bell on.
And on his as well.
Yeah, you might as well if you want.
Just change it to all notifications because YouTube is showing about 20% of people the notification. So even when you subscribe, they don't tell you, wankers. Anyway, thank you guys for watching. We'll see you in the next one. Laters.
Demonetized.
Welcome to the Stephen Howson Football Channel. This is where I will take you through everything that I do revolving around football, be it that at Old Trafford or elsewhere. This is where you will get your match previews, your reviews, your football vlogs, your scout reports, your transfer talk, your youth reviews, your documentaries and anything and everything revolving around football. I absolutely love this game. Do me a favour and subscribe. Thank you for watching.